Welcome to the broadcast of New Birth Church. I would like to invite you to join us in service at New Birth. New Birth is a spirit-filled, Bible-based fellowship that is focused on preaching and teaching the Word of God while striving to live out its principles and believe in its promises. New Birth believes in the power of prayer to transform our lives. If you would like to experience the benefits of prayer and to deepen your relationship with God in that special communion we call prayer, join us at New Birth, where we believe God has a plan for every person. Sunday mornings begin at 10 o'clock with Sunday school for children and adults. Sunday worship begins at 11. Our midweek services are on Wednesday night at 7. We have children's church on that same night. If you are interested in being involved in a small group Bible study, contact the church through our website or our telephone number. Our website's www.newbirth.us. We're at 1229 Spring Ridge Road, 2 miles south of I-20 and 1 block south of McRaven Road. We are expecting great things in God at New Birth. We hope to see you real soon. Romans 12, beginning with verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And for the next little while, I'm going to talk to you about the evolving nature of a disciple. Amen. Father, we love you today, and we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your people. I thank you, Lord, for every person that is here tonight. I thank you today, Lord Jesus, that you have helped them, you've preserved them, you've protected them, you've had mercy on them. I thank you for it, Lord. I pray that you'd open up the word and help me, Lord, today to be a blessing to your people, that it would be bread to the eater and seed to the sower, Lord, that they may travel in the strength of this, I pray, many days. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I began this afternoon, I feel like the Lord has been speaking to me on a number of different fronts. But as I began to realize it's 4 o'clock and I can't preach 20 sermons, I have to measure this down and get this to have something specific and timely to say. I felt like the Lord directed me to begin reading in the book of Revelations. In Revelations chapter 1 and verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. John. The first time we meet him, he is fishing with his brother and his father. He is there fishing. And the Bible says that Jesus came by and said, come and follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. And the Bible says that they left their nets and they followed Jesus. We find that Jesus in the Word of God shows us John. And as we see the evolving nature, or if you will, the transforming process of God on the life of the single individual that we know as John, we see that he was known as the brother of James. The scripture many times speaks of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, or the sons of thunder. John was known as the son of thunder. He was known as the brother of James. He was known as John the disciple. Scripture shows that he became known as John the beloved. We find that he became to be known as John the apostle. And finally, John, we see him here at the latter end of his life as John the revelator. We find that because of his designation, his father was a loud man. The Bible says he was a son of thunder, and we recognize the family trait in that James and John were both vocal and forefront people in the beginning of Jesus' ministry and in the church as time progressed. We find that his mother was presumptuous. She went to the Lord and worshiped Jesus. And as she worshiped Jesus, Jesus perceived that she wanted something because Jesus said, "What do you want, woman?" Amen. The Lord knows when we're worshiping him because of who he is, and he knows when we're worshiping him because we want something. Come on now. And the Bible says, Jesus said, "What do you want?" And the lady said, I would that you would allow my sons one to sit on your right hand and the other to sit on your left. And Jesus said, can they drink of this cup? And can they experience my baptism? And he went further and said, you shall drink of this cup and you shall be baptized with my baptism. But the position in the kingdom to come is not to be negotiated with. It is by the designation and the decision of God. We find that in that setting that the other disciples were indignant. They were angry because this loud family was trying to set things up because they all believed that Jesus was going to set up an earthly kingdom. I think it is interesting to note that James and John, his mother, believed. This is pre-Pentecost. This is pre-Calvary. They're here in the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. The mother of James and John believed, and she knew what was coming was going to be good, though she did not understand the nature of what it was. We see John fishing, and he left his nets. We see John communing with Jesus. We see John demonstrating special care for Jesus. We see him to be selected to care for the mother of Jesus. What an incredible honor. There at Calvary, Jesus looked at John and said, take care of my mother. You're not only going to entrust a special person like your mother, specifically Mary, the mother of Jesus. And she looks at the beloved disciple, the only one that we know that is there at Calvary. And he entrusts her into his care. We see that John and Peter were the first ones to the tomb. It is interesting to notice that not only do we see John and Peter there together, but John, we see a progression. He went from being a disciple to being one of the inner circle, until to the point to where he was, you see, the disciples all felt like he was the Lord's favorite. And I think it is interesting to consider that after Calvary, we see there is a companionship, if you will, of Peter and John. We see John is at Pentecost. We see John and Peter in Acts chapter 3, on their way to the temple, and we find the first recorded miracle after the day of Pentecost. What were they doing? They were in their process of going and praying. Though they had probably been doing this most of their life, they didn't do it like they did that day, because it was a Holy Ghost day. We see John as a companion of Peter in Acts 4. We further see he is sent with Peter to Samaria to examine what has taken place in Samaria. And we do not see John again in the book of Acts. After Acts 8, we do not read of John again in the history of the church. We find again John was with Paul in Galatia, and he is referred to as a pillar of the church. It was not till later in his life and ministry that we find John the Apostle writing. The treasure of his treatise found in the Gospel of John, the concern for the church in his epistles of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. But it is in the book of Revelation that we are able to see John like no other time. It is through this transparent soul that time, trouble, and tribulation has cleared the patina of his character that he was entrusted to give us a glimpse. A glimpse, think about this. John gave us a glimpse that no other person in the New Testament was given permission to show us. We are made to know that Paul saw some things that the Lord said you can't write about. But John is given permission to share the revelation of Jesus Christ. What a tremendous thing to consider. That a man that was just a mere fisherman, a man that was just one of the crowd, that became one of the disciples, that became one of the inner circle, that became the beloved, that through time and ministry and all these things, at the culmination of his life, they had tried to kill John. We understand through history that they boiled him in oil and he wouldn't die, and so they exiled him on a prison island. A place where none of us would want to be. And it is in this place of a small island where there is this constant, it almost seems to be torturous to John, because one of the things that he recognizes when he's in heaven, he says, and there is no more sea. You know, we go on vacation and we enjoy the sound, the constant sound of the surf. But for John, we recognize it doesn't seem to be something he was enjoying. Because the sea and the surf separated him from what he perceived to be his purpose. And it is in this place, the Bible says, that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. We see that Jesus showed John his person. That he had a glimpse of Jesus that we don't see any other place. We see the ministry of Jesus in that he is over and over is presented as the Lamb. We are able to glimpse eternity and see the Lord on his throne. We see his holiness bright as the sun. We see his concern as a man standing at the door and knocking. We see his judgment and tribulation in hell and the white throne judgment. We see his wisdom and his beauty. We see it because John did not stop in his progression, in his transformation, in his evolution as a believer. He did not allow himself just to be forever pegged as a fisherman. He did not allow himself to be stopped as just a brother of James or the son of Zebedee. He was not satisfied only to be a disciple or to simply be an apostle, but because he allowed the purpose and process of God to perfect his soul, we find that he was in a constant process of becoming more than he was before. Amen. The picture of transformation that we see in the natural world is where a caterpillar makes a cocoon, and he is hidden from light and he's hidden from everything that is around him, and it seems that there is nothing happening inside of there. It seems that things are going backwards for the caterpillar. Don't judge the caterpillar that is in his cocoon. Amen. Many times we may look around and we may see other people and we may not understand what is happening in their life, but I want you to know the same thing that is happening in their life is what happens in our own life. We all have ups and downs. We all have victories and defeats. We all have times of great glory and we have times of great pain. But I'm here to tell you, if someone is in that place of transformation, we just need to pray that the Lord would help them make the evolution, make that next step in God's development. To be transformed into yet another purpose of God. The Bible says we go from faith to faith and glory to glory. How do we do that? We go do that through the process of God's transforming work of the Spirit. We see it through John. And I take great hope in John. John is a picture of what I believe the Lord wants to happen in all of us. And I've seen it happen in people, many people that I have witnessed over time. I can even look in my life, but rather than making a personal reference, I can look in the lives of people that I've known all my life. And I knew them as a friend, and I've known them as a roommate. I've known them as someone I worked with. I've known them as various different people, but I can see the transforming work of God, to see that the Lord is transforming them into yet another revelation of His grace. And what is the most beautiful thing is that when we allow the transforming work of the Holy Ghost to be done in our life, amen, it's not just what people see in us, but it's what people see through us. It is His process, John's process, that the Lord gives us a glimpse of eternity. He gives us a glimpse of heaven itself. Oh, it's sometimes you have to be careful for what you pray. Even as John's mother asked that they may sit on the right and the left of the throne, Jesus basically said, if you're going to sit there, you're going to pay a price for that. And He told them, you're going to pay a price. We understand that every disciple of Jesus died a martyr's death, with the exception of John. And he did not die for lack of trying. He died because he could not die until God's purpose was completed in him. We find early in the book of Acts that James, the brother of John, died a martyr. He went on to meet the Lord many years, decades before John, the disciple, the apostle, the beloved, the revelator, died. And what I'm telling you today, if we can recognize that the safest place to be in this world is in the purpose of God. Amen. No gun can save you. No life insurance policy can save you. No health insurance policy can save you. No burglar bar can save you. Amen. No grill in the front of your truck can save you. You could get in a big old 18-wheeler and think you've got the biggest, heaviest vehicle on the road, but that can't save you. The only safe place is in the purpose of God. When we become entwined and become a part and we get consumed and we find ourselves intertwined in the purpose of God, amen, the devil cannot touch us. The danger that is, it happens to people is when they allow themselves not to be a part of the purpose of God. I want to be transformed. I want to be in that constant process of evolving from faith to faith, from glory to glory. I don't want to stop where I am. It's not to say that where I am is a bad place. I'm thankful for where I am. There's many good things about that are in my life. I recognize I'm. There's some good things. Thank God for that. There wouldn't be anything good in me without the Lord. There's a position that I hold. There is influence that I have. There is a voice that I have. But I do not want, I don't want to just stay where I am. I'm not desiring position. I'm going to step down from my position. I'm not desiring recognition. I'm going to take myself out of that. But I want to be the very best that God wants me to be. And if you look at the process of John, amen, there were seasons in John's life where we don't read about him. We don't know what he was doing. His life did not make record within the book of Acts. His effort did not make record in the process of God's purpose. But I can tell you by what happened later on in life, he did not allow the process of transformation to cease to take place. John the Revelator. Saw Jerusalem coming down. He saw feet like brass, eyes like fire, heard a great voice saying, come up higher. It was John the Revelator. Saw Jerusalem coming down. I want to recognize, and I want you to recognize today, that where we have been is not where God wants us to be. Paul said it this way, not that I have already attained, neither were already a perfect, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Amen. The good, the bad, and the indifferent. the victories and maybe things we wouldn't classify as victories. We just got to recognize I'm stepping forward, I'm moving forward, and I am going to continue to involve myself in the purpose of God's redemption of not only my life, but the life of the people in this world that are around me. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. John chapter 1. I just want to show you some things that we see through John. We don't see through anybody else but John. And can I tell you the reason why the Gospel of John had to be written is because God had something that only John could tell. John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. You see this? This is John talking to us. Jesus is speaking to us through John. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. How do we know that? Because the Lord allows us to see a glimpse of Him through John. If you go to 1 John. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You look at 1 John. 1 John in verse 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 2. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. Chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we yet the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Chapter 4, verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. 5 and 1, whosoever believe that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him, that beget, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. Thank God John stayed in the process. There are things written, there are things revealed in the Word of God that we would not know if it hadn't been for John yielding himself to the process of God in his life. And can I tell you, the Bible says, ye are epistles written and read of all men. There are some things that this world is ever only going to ever know is if we continue to involve ourselves in the process of God. Amen. We can say, well, I'm happy being a disciple. I'm happy to be apostolic. Amen. I'm happy I got the Holy Ghost 20 years ago, but I'm here to tell you that if we'll continue to involve ourselves in the process, there is a revelation that will only come to this world, that only will come to this world through our involvement in the transforming work of Calvary. My God, I feel good here today. Second epistle of John, verse 1. 1 and 8. Look to yourselves, that we not lose those things which we have wrought, but that we have received a full reward. 3 John in verse 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Let's look at Revelations chapter 1 and verse 1. Oh, God, I want to be transformed by the work of God. I'm glad I'm not where I was 5 years ago. I'm glad I'm not where I was 7 years ago. I'm glad I'm not where I was 15 years ago when I first started pastoring. I'm glad I'm not still there. I'm glad I'm not where I was when I graduated from Bible college. I'm glad I'm not where I was when I started Bible college. I'm glad I'm not where I was when I accepted my call to preach. I'm glad I'm not where I was when I got the call to preach. I'm glad I'm not where I was when I got the Holy Ghost the first time. Amen. You, every one of you sitting here today, you have known people that stopped their involvement in the process of God. Amen. And what I'm telling you today is that we need to pray for ourselves, that we do not get comfortable, that we do not get a setback and say, well, I'm good. Everything's good. Everything good. Well, I'm telling you today, we need to search our own selves. We need to be sure that we're right and we're ready. Amen. We don't need to be so concerned about everybody else. We just need to check ourselves. If there's something we're concerned about, if there's something that was worrying our mind, amen, if you see it and you're concerned, amen, it is a reason for you to pray, even as Paul prayed. I pray for you. Amen. Amen. Because we all go through times. I've been through times. I've went through times when I didn't know what it was. But looking back, I could see that it was a cocoon I was in. Brother Johnson, it was dark. I couldn't see anything. I couldn't understand anything. I didn't perceive what it was around me. But I can recognize that, amen, the cocoon fell off. And the Lord allowed a process of transformation to happen in me. And because of that, I'm glad for the cocoon. I'm glad for the darkness. I'm glad, amen, for that time when I could not see my way through where I was, because there was a transforming work of God being done in me. And I have a promise from God. There are some things that God has promised me. And I know that the only way those things will be accomplished in me is I've got some more cocoon time coming my way. I've got some more dark times coming my way. I've got some more trouble coming my way. Am I looking for it? No. Do I want it? Not necessarily. But I recognize that whatever it is the Lord allows to come in my life, if I will continue to involve myself in the process of God and pray, Lord, let me be transformed. Let me be renewed. Amen. There is no limit to what God, not just show me, but what he can show the world through me. Through me. I want the Lord to show something through me. This is John. I, John. Amen. I believe that you're understanding what I'm saying today. Amen. But I just want to make this clear. They saw it through John. Amen. John passes before them. In fact, November 30th, 2011, we're looking through John. Amen. We have his perspective. We have his estimation. We have his language. We have his culture. We have everything about John. We're reading and we're seeing the revelation of Jesus Christ through John. And look what we see. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no...
Welcome to the broadcast of New Birth Church. I would like to invite you to join us in service at New Birth. New Birth is a spirit-filled, Bible-based fellowship that is focused on preaching and teaching the Word of God, while striving to live out its principles and believe in its promises. New Birth believes in the power of prayer to transform our lives. If you would like to experience the benefits of prayer and to deepen your relationship with God in that special communion we call prayer, join us at New Birth, where we believe God has a plan for every person. Sunday mornings begin at 10 o'clock with Sunday school for children and adults. Sunday worship begins at 11. Our midweek services are on Wednesday night at 7. We have children's church on that same night. If you are interested in being involved in a small group Bible study, contact the church through our website or our telephone number. Our website's www.newbirth.us. We're at 1229 Spring Ridge Road, 2 miles south of I-20 and 1 block south of McRaven Road. We are expecting great things in God at New Birth. We hope to see you real soon.